Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including new figure announcements, TV show production news, and new episodes of the show to discuss, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I am one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
Hey, it's Kevin, and I can see Angel grow from here.
We've got a couple of things, fun things to talk about today. We get to start Dino Fury Season 2. But before we get started, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out there in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing, still important, still needs support. You know, the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine and, you know, just the near constant attacks on reproductive rights within the U.S., find a way that you can help out, whether that's donating time or money, joining in protests, you know, watching streams that generate revenue, or even just beginning the steps of educating yourself on these topics so you can better understand how you can help. Just find a way that you can do some good in the world. Be a hero in your own way. But with that said, we will kind of start off our show with a new toy announcement that kind of came out of left field. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers VHS figures were revealed a few days ago when Walmart was doing their, like, fan convention stuff. And what we found out is this. It's Morphin time. From Dino Fury back to the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Power Rangers have brought teamwork, action, and superhero adventure to generations of fans. The legacy continues with action figures, vehicles, collectibles, toy sets, and roleplay toys from Hasbro celebrating Ranger teams from almost 30 years. Imagine all the action of Power Rangers with toys from Hasbro. And available exclusively at Walmart and through Hasbro Pulse, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Red, Black, and Yellow Ranger are here in fun packaging inspired by videotapes. Remember video cassettes? This package evokes the days of recording your favorite episodes and watching them over and over after school. And each figure includes the power coin for that ranger, the power weapon for them, and the blade blaster in blade mode. And also, these packaging like that we got in the reveal also include the first instance of the Power Rangers 30th anniversary logo that will likely be on all merchandise within the 30th anniversary.
Yep. The 30th anniversary is here.
What did you think of these figures? What did you think of kind of them getting dropped? You know, where are you at with these guys?
Yeah. So, I mean, and for those of you listening, if you haven't seen the photos yet, so these are in the same scale and... Basically, these are the same molds as the male and female Ranger figures from the Beast Morphers and Dino Fury lines. So, basically, these are great figures that can go, like, with your Dino Fury 5-pack that you got off Amazon, for example. For me, I'm not going to get them. I mean, I'm looking at my complete, with an asterisk on it, like, Mighty Morphin Lightning Collection figures right now. And, you know, I think they're cute. I think they're going to serve the purpose, which is if you haven't gotten a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger figure in quite some time and you're in Walmart and you see these, grab them. The packaging is cute. I like the art on it. It kind of continues that same style from the Megazord figures. And it's actually interesting because the Red Ranger is a repack, I believe, of the Mighty Morphin Red that came out during during the Beast Morphers team up last year. So,
yeah.
So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And it's just, let's be real, y'all. It's the 30th anniversary. We got to have a Mighty Morphin figure line. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, it also, like, the thing that, like, it's cute. I like the packaging. It's kind of similar to what they've done with the X-Men line.
Yeah.
It is interesting that they are the, like, smaller scale figures because I think the X-Men ones are, like, Marvel Legends scale and style.
Yeah. I think they're actually re-released Marvel Legend figures.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which makes sense. But yeah, it's just, it's cool. I like these. I don't know that I'm going to get them either. It's just like, they're kind of a cool thing if you want them. Yeah. They're also like, I think a cool thing that you can give to kids as well because they are in scale with the other figures. So
it, I think it'll be cute. And I do like the release pattern they did with them this time, because instead of doing like they did with the retromorphing, where it was like pink was in the first wave, they put yellow in the first wave.
Yeah, because I've seen someone refer to these as like the Stone Canyon ones, and I'm like, I don't know how this necessarily makes them like either side.
It's the color pairing. I mean, I thought of it too, but that's only because of the power transfer. I mean, really, yeah. I don't think there's anything official for that, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. The thing that would make me, like, more interested in them is if they actually based the, like, video cassette look on them off the original video cassettes. I understand that would get into a weird category because, like, often those had, like, the actors' faces on them in small ways. But it would be cool to get them, like, patterned after that and look more like the original releases because there is art of those out there.
Or even like just getting stock photos and recreating some of those, because they eventually did like the best of the Pink Ranger and Yellow Ranger VHS cassettes too, I think, eventually, things like that. So
I would love those ones that had like, I don't know if you remember them, like at the bottom it had like the Morphin like art of like the Ranger turning into the Ranger and then into the Zord, which like doesn't make sense but is cool.
I had the Pink Ranger one. I had No Clowning Around.
Nice. I had, I don't think I got any of the VHS of like the season one. The only one I had was of season two, and it was the one with the Primator episode. And that's why I had
that one too. Yeah.
I love that one very specifically, that one random episode of Mighty Morphin.
I've got tons of the VHS tapes, like, or I had them at least. I think I had the No Clowning Around, I had the Goldar's Vice Versa.
Nice.
And I had the Primator episode. And Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun. I had that one as well.
Nice.
So, like, I almost had all the Stone Canyon Trio VHS tapes. I just didn't have Adams.
Very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Nostalgia. Remember cassette tapes?
Oh, God. That line in the press release, I'm like, Jesus, do we have to put that there? Like, I get it.
I put that in there for you.
Like a gut punch. It's bad enough there's like a 30th anniversary logo on it, but like also it's like, wow, I've really seen a bunch of these now, haven't I?
Yeah, but it also highlights the fun that is the longevity of Power Rangers, and it's exciting. Like I feel, maybe this is cynicism, but I feel more excited for this anniversary than I have for any of the anniversaries in a very long time.
Something
about this one feels special. I don't know why.
It feels bigger. Like, it feels like there's more acknowledgement of it. Whereas, like, I think the others, it's like, they look, here's a logo. This doesn't really mean anything, kind of thing. I do think there is something behind this. What did you think of the 30th anniversary logo, since we're talking about it?
It's cute, I think. So, viewers, if you haven't seen it yet, basically it's the number 30 with the Mighty Morphin Thunderbolt, like, in between 3 and 0, like, in the front. I think I would have replaced the circle in 0 with the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Personally. But that's just me.
But I do like the centering the lightning bolt. I saw some people complaining about it. I do like the fact that it puts like the Power Ranger, the new Hasbro Power Ranger logo at the bottom, and we get like the rainbow coloring. I do like that it's kind of a fusion between, you know, old and new. A lot of people are like mad about the lightning bolt because it's they just call it the MMPR one. But I'm like, the lightning bolt was part of the logo for years.
It still is.
Yeah. It's like
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, I like it. I think it's simple enough. I think it gets everything across. As much as people want to say the lightning bolt makes it think of MMPR, they at least didn't put like the Red Ranger helmet on it, you know?
Yeah.
Which so many other would have done. I think it works for what it's doing. And I'm curious to see where it'll pop up again, where we'll see it in other merchandising. So
yeah, I mean, and this is also going to be a big year too, because, you know, there's a lot of anniversaries happening, right? It's the 20th anniversary of Wild Force, 15th of Operation Overdrive, the 10th of Megaforce. Like, lots of big year milestones this year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see where that gets reflected in, like, in other things, in other media. So, just exciting things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, since we're talking about 30th anniversary things, there have been a lot of Cosmic Fury kind of updates. I say a lot in air quotes. But specifically, we do know the cast is in New Zealand. We've seen updates from Chance, who, you know, with him, Hunter, and Russell arriving in New Zealand. And Simon has been doing kind of the tour through fan comments on Twitter. God, I feel for that man. He has reiterated multiple times that this will be a 10-episode season.
Mm-hmm.
There will be 10 episodes of Cosmic Fury. There will be 10 episodes of Cosmic Fury.
And they are normal length episodes, so 22 to 25 minutes.
Yep. There will be no Q-Ranger suits at all in the show. So if you had any kind of hope, I know I kind of posited there were ways they could do it. Nope. Not. There will not mm-hmm. be any. And as was confirmed before, there will be a mixture of returning and new villains for the Rangers to face off against. So, again, if you have any of these questions, like I don't know, just search Simon Bennett and you will find information like that he has told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's been very consistent.
Yeah. Which is, I think, is really good. Like, I think Simon, and we've kind of talked about this before, but I think Simon has seen firsthand having... And this kind of segues in some of the other stuff he's been putting on there, because he's also been spilling tea about his work producing Power Rangers the last few years and directing. But I really enjoy that he's kind of getting in front of the train, so to speak, and like just kind of getting it out there so that he can temper the fans' expectations. Because, you know, that tends to happen sometimes. Expectations kind of go wild. So I'm glad to see that. I think it's a good breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and I mean, he's also just very frank about production, like, mm-hmm. which is, like, I think a good thing sometimes, like, as much as Power Ranger fans like to pretend like they know a lot, like, some of them are very, how do I say this politely, in the dark of how production truly works, and I'm glad that, like, Simon is willing to be like, no, this is how things are done, this is why mm-hmm. we do things the way we do them, mm-hmm. like, if you want something, yeah, it's just very...
Yeah.
I do love how Simon is able to. I do feel bad for him, though, because I feel like, man, it must be exhausting. Like, I can't imagine having to constantly say the same thing over and yeah. over again. But
I think, honestly, and this is my opinion on it, you can tell just even his interactions, even though a lot of it's very, like, blunt and frank, like, you can tell he loves working on the show.
Yeah.
And, like, he loves the series.
Which is refreshing, like. That's the vibe I get. Which is refreshing, because, like, sometimes... Some of these people acted like it was the worst thing they ever had to do. So, like...
mm-hmm. Yeah. And granted, given leadership during certain years, it probably was. but yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's good. And, you know, I really... I would love it. And hopefully Simon is listening. But I would love for them to do, like, a one-hour behind-the-scenes featurette. Like, have him and the cast go through, like, from start to finish... you know, show us some behind the scenes things. Like, I would love to see that, because I feel like he would do a really good job at, like, structuring that and kind of, like, putting it out there for everybody to see. And I don't know, I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. I do think we are getting more of that, like, through, like, social media posts.
Yeah.
Because we've had, like, the one where Hunter was talking about the morphing, like, filming the morphing sequence.
Yeah.
And we had one recently where Kai Moya was talking about the worst day of filming where he just couldn't get one line right, which is very funny. But it's I think we're seeing a lot more of it, and hopefully we will get some kind of official release on some stuff, because I think it would be cool. Even if they mm-hmm. did, like, a re-release of that one Power Ranger, like, production book they did, like, if they did an updated version with, like, Dino Fury and Cosmic Fury in it, it would be really cool to get. Because I would love to see, because I'm betting there are iterations of the Cosmic Fury suits that didn't make it. And I would love to see versions of those.
Yeah,
like, for what sure. were the different ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. Heck, I would love to see, like, them have that, they posted that whiteboard with all of the, like, mm-hmm. character names that have since changed.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love that. I would love that kind of stuff if they did an update again for that book. It did with, like, Dino Fury. Or even if they did, like, a truncated version that just focused mm-hmm. on the recent years. I would love that. But one other thing to discuss that I know I mentioned last time, but obviously rumors about the 30th anniversary special.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to David Yost and Walter Jones returning as Billy and Zach, it's all but confirmed that Steve Cardenas is coming back as Rocky and mm-hmm. Catherine Sutherland is back as Kat. An actress has been revealed as, you know, potentially coming back as the Yellow Ranger as Trini's daughter. You know, Steve Cardenas is in New Zealand and has made no, like, effort to hide it.
Yeah.
Videos of Catherine Sutherland have been found with her wearing the very mm-hmm. same pink robe that Amelia mm-hmm. wore, or the Hunter wore as Amelia mm-hmm. during filming. So, like, we're pretty sure they're going to be in there. Since it's been confirmed, like, what do you think of these guys coming back? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think the big challenge that the showrunners, and because I believe David also wrote this, right? Didn't he like propose it or pen it at least?
I don't know where, if that is just something he was talking about, mm-hmm. and if Hasbro was like, that's cute, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they haven't, we still don't understand what this 30th anniversary thing is supposed to
yeah.
be. It was announced with Cosmic Fury, so we don't know if it's part of the 10 episodes or if it's something separate.
I'm thinking not. I think it's going to be its own thing, which would be...
Yeah.
I think that would be the best way to go about it. So that way it also doesn't take away from from Cosmic Fury. But yeah, I think the lineup we have here, it's... I think with Mighty Morphin Season 1, you have a lot of hurdles to jump through at this point. Mm-hmm. With one Ranger, of course, unfortunately having passed. Another Ranger pretty much having washed her hands of Power Rangers. And another Ranger being extremely problematic. Like, it limits who you can have. But I think given the restrictions they had in place, they picked the best possible team they could. Like, would it have been cool to see Karen and Johnny back as Aisha and Adam? Yes, absolutely. But they're doing what they have to do, and we don't know who else is returning either. It's very well possible they could get, you know, a lot of people back, and we just don't know it yet because they've not revealed anything. So I would not be surprised if Bulk and Skull show up in the 30th, for example.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, like, the thing we got to keep in mind is it's, you know, not only is it people who, like, all the things you listed, there's, well, are they a union actor or not, because that complicates mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
How expensive are they? Are they able to come in during the time of production? You know, they're, all things affect whether or not a person can return. I would be excited if Bulk and Skull returned, if Paul and Jason came back. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Yeah.
It would be great.
I think they will. I feel like they're always up to it.
Since you brought this up, it did mm-hmm. spark something else. We mm-hmm. have seen, how do we say this politely, ire from other cast members who are not in the Mighty Morphin cast, that they have not been brought in.
Huh. Okay.
Have you seen this?
No.
Essentially, Bridges' actor is like, oh, it would be great if, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If they brought in SPD. And it's like, okay, look.
Well, I'll say this. I am sure that the cast of SPD probably, because they knew that their season took place in 2025, they probably all know it's coming. And they know 2025 is going to be here soon, so maybe some of them are hoping for that. Maybe some of them would like to see that come back. I think the thing to keep in mind is that this is a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers anniversary special,
mm-hmm.
ultimately. Will there be other things from other seasons? Probably. But I feel like what we're going to see is we're going to see this special probably do Mighty Morphin, and then Cosmic Fury will probably have more things littered throughout it. So I could see that being the case more so. Especially since Simon has teased for the villains in Cosmic Fury that we're going to see some returning villains. And I feel like he wouldn't drop that nugget of information if we aren't going to get some big surprises. Because there's not many villains that can return that I could think of that would be enough to drop that nugget and make people excited.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious ones are like Slither and Mucus.
Yeah, yeah. Scrozzle.
Yeah. Like, just Campbell Cooley yeah, as bring, all villains.
Yeah, bring Sledge back just to blow him up again. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the cast that they have, I mean, obviously the thing we're probably going to see is we're going to see the five Rangers again, yeah. the five Mighty Morphin. Like,
yeah, they're going to morph. Like,
yeah.
If they didn't, I would be shocked.
Yeah, I am curious, like, if they will make a nod towards Tommy at all, since JDF has also apparently washed his hands of the whole thing.
I mean Catherine's his wife, so yeah. I'm sure they'll probably hand wave it as like him either being off planet or doing something else,
or being with JJ.
Yeah, like I could see them doing something along those lines. So who knows, maybe JJ will get involved in the story too. They might even bring him in just to rub some salt in Jason David Frank's wounds.
That would be hilarious.
It kind of would, yeah. It would. but no, I think either that or we'll see like the Green Ranger and White Ranger appear in some capacity, like either morphed or, you know, doing something with the team. I feel like we'll see Alpha.
Yeah.
Alpha's an easy one to do, so I would be surprised if they didn't bring Alpha back.
The question is, do we get the actor back to voice Alpha?
We don't know. We'll see. But I think either way, like, this feels special. Yeah. It really does. And I think it's going to be really fun. Like, I enjoyed Dimensions in Danger, for example. I always enjoy seeing the older actors return and kind of embracing the past, which I'm excited to see what is going to be done and getting the updates on the lives of our Rangers and where they're at.
Yeah, I do like the fact that, like, you know, like, this cast has weirdly... The thing it does in a fun way is it does cover all three seasons of Mighty Morphin by having Steve and Catherine there. Mm-hmm. It is kind of fun in that way of, like, you have season one represented, season two represented, and you have season three, and then you have a new guard by bringing in the younger actress to play Trini's daughter.
Yeah. You know, I know they've talked about the new universe happening, but I almost kind of do wish that they kept Trini's daughter on and, like, that she moved forward into the new universe as, like, the, like, kind of the old guard transitioning to the new guard for the next Ranger team. That'd be kind of fun.
But it would be kind of fun, but I with them wanting to do a whole new universe at
And it doesn't mean that we won't see this universe again.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, it makes money. Like,
it makes money. And I think this is the thing I am kind of excited about the more I think about it. Like, seeing these new U.S. exclusive designs kind of leaning a little bit away from the Sentai footage and letting Rangers do its own thing is great because it gives Hasbro that chance to play. But then if they need to kind of, you know, either course correct or they want to bring Sentai suits back in, they have that option. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, and I mean, so, and also,
I'm excited to see what's going to happen and what the future holds for us.
Yeah, I mean, in, as much as people malign the comics, as much as some, like, there's certain, like, groups of the fandom that hate the comics do, like, really cool, interesting things with existing property stuff, like, do original suit designs, come up with new concepts. I will be curious, so, the other thing, obviously... You know, with the Rangers they're bringing back with Steve, with Catherine, their Rangers were multiple suits. Do you think they will acknowledge the Zeo powers or the Turbo powers at all? Or will they just be morphing Mighty Morphin, do you think?
I don't know. I think if they want to acknowledge the history, that's the best way to go about it. And I say that selfishly because I really want there to be a fight scene where they transition through all their other powers, kind of like what Jason David Frank got to do in Ninja Steel. But I'm just imagining, like, Catherine, like, going into her turbo powers and then, like, switching off to her Zeo powers and then finally landing on her Mighty Morphin powers. You know, and then, like, you do a cut to Rocky doing the same thing with the blue Zeo powers. And then I would just love, this would be amazing, if we saw, like, Zack fighting and then out of nowhere he just pulls out the Omega Morpher and then transforms into Omega Black. Like, I just really want to see that. Because it would be
really cool.
It'd be a stretch,
Do you think they'll give Kat a Master Morpher or Rocky a Master Morpher?
I think they'd have to at this point. I think it's pretty much established that if you have more than one, at least for the Mighty Morphin team, they have Master Morphers.
I think that would be really cool. Hey, Hasbro, that's a thing you can make. Like, if you do that, that is just another toy you can make and, like, be like, hey, here's Tommy's Master Morpher, then you can be like, oh, hey, here's Adams. You know, he didn't have one in the show, but we've made one for fans. There's a lot of cool things they could do.
I do wonder, now that I think about it, because also the Alien Ranger figures are coming out next year anyway. I wonder if we'll see Aquitar.
I mean, that's the thing with, like, Cosmic Fury. Like, again, like, that would be a great thing to pull in. You know, who knows? That, again... The great thing about all this, and, you know, we talked about this for about, I think, like, 6 or 7 minutes longer than I would have imagined we did. Like, there is a lot of unknowns, and that makes it fun to speculate as fans.
Yeah, I think that's what I like a lot, too, because, I mean, you and I both know this from, like, for most Ranger fans, once you learn about what Sentai is, you start, like, keeping track of the Sentai, even if you don't watch it, so you can kind of see what you're going to get next year. Like, ooh, there's going to be these power-ups. Ooh, there's going to be this thing. And I feel like this especially hit you hard with Ryu Soldier because you would see certain elements come in and you'd be like, oh, okay, we're going to get something similar to this or like something similar is going to happen. Maybe not as you expected, but this is the first time where you can't really follow the Sentai for anything. Like,
And I mean, even like, for the Zords. Yeah, even for the Zords, like who knows what they'll use. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I'll be curious about is, like, you know, we've definitely, like, with adaptations, like, sometimes, yes, you get things like RPM where it's like, boy, we've went off the rails. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get things like Samurai where it's like, okay, we're going to see this beat. Okay, this thing's going to happen. And then that character's going to show up. And, like, yeah, mm-hmm. The more we can break away from that, the more cool things we can do. And I think Dino Fury shows that off in a lot of ways.
For sure. And look at that transition, because Dino Fury is back.
Yep. Season 2, Part 2 dropped last week. Or 2 weeks ago at this point. I don't know how far away we are anymore.
It's been about a week.
Yes, back on September 29th. If you've not binged it... why do it? It's really good. There's a lot of fun things in this, but we're gonna start our episode reviews starting with season 2, episode 12, Ultimate Mystery, which was written by Becca Barnes and Alwyn Dales, with a teleplay by Johnny Hartman and directed by Robin Grace. And the description for this one is: when Jane vetoes a Buzz Blast story on Bigfoot, Amelia tells Stan and Annie to bend the rules and do it anyway. But when her colleagues end up in danger, Amelia learns an important lesson about responsibility. Boy, is there more to this episode than that description says.
Yeah. But kudos to the copy team for, you know, not spoiling it. What did you think of this episode, Joel?
So I was mildly spoiled about aspects of this one. That being said, I do like the kind of overall plot of this one. I like the there's a lot in this one, which is weird to say because it feels like a very simple episode of Power Rangers. But we get so many little things buried throughout. We'll discuss them as we go on. But I really like the kind of core story of Amelia with Stan and Annie, who I think are characters we've seen in the background of Buzz Blast over the last season and a half, right?
They've been there since episode one. At least Stan has.
Yeah, and so they're finally getting character names, and they're getting, like, stuff to do in the episode, which I really liked.
Yeah.
I liked Jane getting to be a boss in this episode.
Yeah.
Because she gets to finally be, like, the Miranda Priestly character and be like, no, do the story I said. Don't change that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. And I think that, like, you know, they all did a really good job. And one of the things that I really enjoy about Dino Fury is the fact that it feels like a living, breathing world, because you have these supporting characters that are fleshed out. They're not just background props. Like, they actually, you know, I mean, Stan and Annie got names, for God's sakes. Like, it feels like a living, breathing world, which is something we haven't really had in a while, I think.
Yeah, and again, it's that strength of Dino Fury of being able to not only create characters, but then being able to use them once they have them in the reserves. Because again, I really liked it. I do want to say one thing that I did notice is Stan's actor, his accent gets away from him a couple times.
Yeah, I noticed it on my second watch through.
I was like, "Ooh, boy, that was..."
That's okay. I loved his outfit, though. It was my color scheme.
Yes, because purple.
And orange.
I liked that core story, but I mean, we're talking around a lot of things.
So let's just dive in.
Do you want to go first? Do you want to go Area 62, or do you want to go
just dive on in. I mean, so, dear listeners, y'all know that Joel and I, we actually are friends outside of the show. It's not like a, you know, behind the scenes drama thing. So we always, like, react to things and talk to each other constantly. And Joel got to view my live reaction of this episode because I didn't get anything spoiled on this one somehow. I don't know how, but I managed to avoid spoilers. And the best way I could describe watching this episode was me being very tired late at night, but also being ecstatic and filled with just so much glee, because this episode is just I just feel like for them to pick it where they did, it feels like it's a really great, like, opener for the second half, but also, like, it's really a good way to set up what we're going to be getting in some future episodes. What'd you think of the Area 62 subplot?
I like that gets brought up. I like the moment at the beginning with Pop Pop of him being, like, very wary of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think Amelia, Stan, and Annie are a little blasé about radiation, potentially. Like, I do think Pop Pop is smart.
but the Geiger counter was safe.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
This is a universe where horses breathe on the moon, so...
Yes, this is true. This is true. Stranger Things.
But Pop Pop is one of my favorite supporting characters, I think. I love him.
Yeah, no, that actor, he's so great because there's something so, like, just silly and fun about him. Like, I love the whole thing where he's just like, you'll grow a tail. And he's like, I personally like my butt the way it is.
Yeah. He's able to do that physical comedy and do it in a way that it's hard to describe.
It still feels real in the universe.
It does.
It is ridiculous, but it just never feels like we're watching cartoon characters bounce off the wall.
Yeah. You're right.
If that makes sense.
No, I do know. I know exactly what you're talking about right now. but yeah, I thought it was really cute. And I really do love that I feel like in earlier seasons, they would have like had the action of the episode be like Slither, Mucus, or Wreckmate, or somebody like jumps out of the bushes and it's like, why are you at our base? And then they find out it's their base. Because usually Rangers kind of know where their villains are based out of, and they don't have a reason to go after them because it's like, oh, they're too powerful, or oh, we can't do that. So I like that they're also like threading this needle of like, we as the viewers know they're in danger by being near Area 62, not because of radiation, but because of monsters. But yeah, the Rangers don't know that.
Yeah, and also I like the fact that it's that thing that Dino Fury does really great where it's like, we introduced to the idea of Area 62, but we're not told what that is or how that has any relevance. We get like Finders Keepers where we find about the Jeep.
Yeah.
It's that building of a thing slowly over the season.
Yeah.
I do really want to point out the one line where it's like, Amelia talks about when she's introducing it for the Buzz Blast segment, she's like, it's an abandoned military base with a history of secrets. And that one line has so much that you can do with it. We will eventually, in that future episodes, get some answers to what it is. But also, there's still a lot that is not explained about this.
Yeah, which is really nice. It's really fun. And I really do enjoy that because it also propels Amelia's story a little bit because she's able to give that context about her grandfather working there. And it threads into eventually what I think is probably one of the best non-combat spandex suited scenes in Power Rangers history. But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
So this eventually leads like the Rangers find out that, or Amelia and Stan and Annie, you know, Pop-Pop doesn't have anything for them at Area 62. He doesn't have anything exciting. So they're wanting to change the story to a, like, Bigfoot picture that is found. They want to explore that. Jane's like, no, stay on the Area 62 one. And then we get to find out that Amelia has a case file of all weird sightings and, like, different things she wants to investigate, which is stored in her little drawer full of pink items, which, hey, prop designer and set designer, that's a really nice touch that everything Amelia has is pink. But all of these folders, she has ones for Bigfoot, she has ones for different things, and these have different information that Stan and Amelia eventually kind of latch onto and lead them to Dino Hinge. On the Ranger side, we get a call from Grid Battle Force, from General Shaw. Their facilities have had a jailbreak, which I have questions about because when did you guys start jailing them?
They did at the end of the season, at the end of Beast Morphers.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they also jailed Chaku. Remember?
Yeah.
And Devin.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So it's been established.
Okay. I was just like, well, this feels like an escalation of something.
Yeah.
But essentially, there's been a jailbreak. Monsters are kind of getting out. And one is, they believe, to be on their way to Pine Ridge. I do love in this whole scene where we get General Shaw talking to the Rangers, we get footage from GoBusters, essentially, of the Rangers, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, and that initial transition from, like, Shaw to the GoBusters footage was clean as hell. Like, kudos to the editing team, because they did a really good job of that transition, because it made you feel like she was actually there.
Yeah, they did a good job. They did a really good job with that. I do love that there's a joke made by Javi where he's like, I thought Pine Ridge was unlucky, but Coral Harbor. And just like...
And see, Javi, you don't know what you're saying.
Exactly.
You're midway through a Power Ranger season. You don't know.
Exactly. And I do like that, like, when the monster does appear on their tracking, like, Javi's like, well, is it a sporks beast? And it, like...
Yeah, they do. I like that.
It does, like, it's a whole, like, it's a fun thing, kind of tipping its hat to the question that's always answered or asked with Power Rangers of, like, if there are other Rangers, why don't they fight people's monsters for them? Like, mm-hmm. you know, if, you know, the Wild Force team is running around, why aren't they helping with, like, Sporix things? And yeah. it's like, well, because, like, in theory, you handle the thing you handle, another team will handle the thing they handle. Mm-hmm. If it gets too big, that's when you'll step
yeah.
in.
Yeah, and some equipment is better suited for monsters than others. Like, the Wild Force Rangers equipment may not be as good against a robot, for example.
Yeah. It's kind of like Rangers have jurisdictions, and I really thought that was nice. Obviously, though, when they Javi asked about it, Zato's like, we have to fight it regardless. We're going to go.
Yeah. Like.
And the Rangers show up to meet this monster, mm-hmm. Who is apparently the Bigfoot that Amelia and Stan and Annie saw in the picture, based off his walking type. Yeah.
I'm shocked. Shocked. This is shocking news to me.
The Rangers morph and fight this guy. And I really do want to call out, I love what this team does with morphs, mm-hmm. specifically the morph call, because they always try to do an angle on it or mm-hmm. do some kind of dynamic, like, shift on it that makes each morph call, I think, stand out because of it. Because mm-hmm. It's not just a, like, right in front of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Perfectly square shot. They do the morph call. No, it's always done in a really dynamic way. And I think it adds a really nice energy to it that mm-hmm. I love in this morphing call.
Yeah, it really does. And I love how, like, if you remember back when the series first started and they were like, oh my gosh, the morph is so long. Like, it doesn't feel long anymore.
No.
It hasn't
for a while. No, not at all. Yeah, even though it has, like, all these different components, I think the shifting of, like, angles, the way it feels like it, like, everything moves, this team's done a really great job. I want to shout out the stunt team on mm-hmm. that. And the camera crew and director, everyone, great job. But this monster has a lot of banter back and forth with the Ranger about his feet, about all these other things. But we find out that this Ranger, or this monster, is Lothlorn, the nephew to Lokar.
Mm-hmm. The terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I loved Amelia's line at that reaction, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because he introduces him, Lokar, as a terrible wizard. And Amelia is lovingly, I love this girl, she's great. She's like, is he a terrible person or a really bad wizard? Or bad at magic?
There's a lot of, like, fun little wordplay things like this in this entire episode, and we'll get to a couple others in a bit. But I do love, this is such a smart and fun little detail, because for those who don't know, the Rue Soldier monster is a reference to the Lokar character in Zhu Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Great Satan, I believe.
Yes. And so they looked at that and were like, well, we can do the same thing, and just made their own reference back. It's really smart, really fun. And I'm just, again, it's that little thing. It's the little details that I think this writing team, this production team picks up on. Is like, well, we can play with this. But so the Rangers battle Lothlorn. They make fun of him being spiky, yada, yada, yada. Their attacks don't work. And he gets away. And when he gets away, Izzy and Ollie begin arguing over what the pun to call him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this fun little moment where they take a vote on who had the better pun, and Izzy mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah. Well, and the banter in that was really good. I really just picture them in the ADR booth all together for that scene in particular, because the back and forth on it was really well done.
Yes.
And yeah, it felt like a very Sentai moment, I feel like.
Yeah, it did. It did feel like that. And I think it's because also they are kind of, especially in the fight, not so much that scene with the team arguing over that, but during the fight, when they are using Sentai footage, they are leaning into using kind mm-hmm. of the emotions of the Sentai actors to figure out what the dialogue is.
Yeah, instead of ignoring it. All,
yeah, or overdubbing it, which, like, mm-hmm. some seasons have kind of done really poorly.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good scene overall. So what do you think of Lothlorn?
It's a funny reference. That's all it is to me. It's just a fun reference. Yeah. I'm not looking into it. I'm not mad that he's not a bigger threat. I'm just like, okay, it's a fun reference. We're going to play with that
way. Yeah. I felt like they did a good job of making him a big threat, though, just by using the Sentai footage, because he definitely felt like a stronger monster, which was good.
Yeah, and the fact that he's not a Sporix beast.
Exactly, that too. Even down to, like, teleportation effects. But I think what I really enjoyed was is that they didn't, like, take a hammer and bang it on your head and say, this is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like, yeah. They don't go into detail to say Lokar was a villain that worked with Rita Repulsa. Like, I feel like if this was a Saban season, one, he wouldn't have been related to Lokar at all. Two, if he was, they would have done, like, quick flashback footage with a badly dubbed Rita again, explaining who Lokar is and, like, wasting time. Like, they just say, here he is, this is who he is, have fun.
Yeah, it's like a reference that if you don't listen to it, you can miss it.
Yeah. It's not going to confuse little kids, but it's for the adults that are watching that maybe grew up with Mighty Morphin. It's a good little reference.
Yeah. So we do get, you know, Stan and Annie, based off Amelia's documents, go to Dino Hinge because they believe that Bigfoot made it. There is a not-so-great joke about the pyramids being built by aliens, which I'm like, yikes, Amelia.
That's fine.
There's problems with that whole thing, but that's a whole thing outside of the show. But while Stan and Annie are at Dino Hinge, Luthorn teleports in and begins attacking the Dino Hinge statues, which, one, genius to give that to Lord Zedd as a way of attacking them, because Lord Zedd's always trying to find a way to disconnect the Rangers from the grid, but it's a really smart use of knowing that that's a thing that can happen to the Rangers.
Yeah.
So they attack Dino Hinge. The Rangers obviously sense this, go out and attack Luthorn. And there's a great moment with Amelia getting to save Stan and Annie. Annie asking for a selfie when Amelia comes over, and she's like, maybe later. But I really like the fact that the show remembers it has teleportation and uses it not only to get civilians away, but to teleport Luthorn away from Dino Hinge.
Yeah, which gives another great delivery from Russell as Zedd, because they teleport him mid him talking, and he's like, did you just? And he's like, yep. Like, just really, they really have, I think, perfected the banter of Power Rangers this season.
Yes.
And I love it. It's great.
And knowing when to thread that needle.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to have constant talking in a fight scene.
Yes. It can be purposeful. It can be kind of very, like... And that's not to say there are not jokey fights in Dino Fury, because there definitely are. And there are some clunkers sometimes.
There are, yeah. But that's with any show.
For sure. But from here, Luthorn pulls out a pocket gigantifier. And proceeds to make himself grow. We get a fight scene with all of the Ranger Zords. We get the Mosa Razor Zord and the Dino Fury Champion kind of form. They fight him. They end up defeating him. And one of the great jokes that Kevin referenced earlier is, as Luthorn is in the air above the city, he's like, hey, I could see Angel Grove from here. The Rangers defeat Luthorn, and then we get kind of a moment with Amelia and Stan and Annie, where there's a joke of them being like, well, we were saved by the Blue Ranger. Oh, no, we were saved by the Gold Ranger. And Amelia's like, are y'all sure about that?
Yeah, that was a fun little joke, because, like, I think she was kind of hoping for that quick, like, oh, the Pink Ranger's awesome, like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
It was good. Then we get the bombshell dropped because the Rangers go back to, like, show up and are at Amelia's desk, and they're looking at her case files and talking about, you know, how making jokes at her expense. And she reveals that there's one extra file she has, and it's for her mom and dad, because she's never solved the mystery of what happened to them. And she really hopes one day that she will be able to.
Yeah.
And it's a really great scene. I think Hunter does a great job as Amelia, communicating kind of the grief of it and how this, like,
it's handled really, really well. It's given a gravity, like, and I think what it does is it does this scene. Like I said earlier, this is, I think, one of the most well shot, acted scenes that does not involve combat choreography in Ranger suits. Like, this is one of the best, like, human moments, and it reminds you that these are human beings. And
yeah, and it it justifies Amelia's character.
Yes. Because she, you know, she even says, she's like, if I can solve these mysteries, then I can solve any mystery, including my parents. And, like, Hunter does just a really good job of emoting it. She does a really good job of giving that extra layer and that, like, gut punch whenever you realize what she's talking about. Because they've kind of hinted at her parents being gone before, but not really dived into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had the missing parents subplot happen. I mean, it's basically a trope at this point. I almost wrote it into my Power Rangers campaign, but I didn't. But
yeah,
it's just it's done so well, and
it is. It really is, and it's there. Like in that scene, there's such a shift when this moment happens, and it, you know, Hunter's brought it on. I think the rest of the cast does a really good job in responding to her. It's just it's really good, and it's like again, just another breadcrumb.
It is
because. Spoilers, this will pay off in later episodes. Like,
well,
it's.
Go ahead.
It just, like, my thing is, it's not just a throwaway scene.
Right.
To just get it done and get it out of the way.
Yeah.
It is meant to be this little bit of, you know, hey, here's another detail. Like we said, really, really well done by this team.
Exactly. And on top of that, like, and you kind of alluded to this too, like, with the team acting off of Hunter, it shows the chemistry that they have. It shows how much they care about each other in character, but you can also tell how much they care about each other. And we've seen this multiple times throughout the series, and we will continue to see it in future episodes.
Yes.
But this is hands down, you know, Ranger fans across the spectrum of age, but for older Ranger fans that have been around since the beginning, you know, we tend to think of certain casts as being like the top tier casts that had great chemistry. They acted really well and they just played off each other really well. So a lot of people think of, you know, SPD, Time Force, In Space, Mighty Morphin even. This, the Dino Fury cast is going to be one of those top casts as a whole.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. I know that for Power Ranger actors, it's hard to break away from the series once you move on. I hope to God that these six, and really the rest of the cast as well, I hope that they get to, you know, kind of get that push forward, like alum like Eka Darville, Adelaide Kane, and, you know, Amy Jo Johnson and all of them have gotten after the series because they deserve it. Like,
yeah,
it's great. For sure. And I love it. This is one of my favorite casts of the entire series.
Same. Same.
So, yeah.
We do have one more scene at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is General Shaw popping back up to thank the Rangers for their help. And to tell them that one prisoner that was brought broken out and not recovered was Scrozzle. And we get the reveal of who broke him out, which is Lord Zedd. Which, like, I like this scene. I understand what it's doing. But, boy, it is really, like, the Beast Morphers team being like, hey, this is y'all's problem.
A bit. But at the same time, like, they're having to, like, do the processing and paperwork and stuff. And they know that they were fighting Zedd. So I think that's partly why.
Yeah.
But I think...
It's funny because it's, like, it's just funny to me because I feel like the Beast Morphers team, like, y'all know who Lord Zedd is. And y'all know how bad he is. But y'all are just like, we'll let them handle it.
Yeah, but it comes down to jurisdiction. So
yeah, this feels like a dino team problem, not a technology team problem.
Exactly. And I think one thing I really like is, like, it threads the needle that Simon picked up from Beast Morphers, because when we left Beast Morphers, the Ranger Vault has Zedd's staff, which is a major artifact. In Dino Fury Season 1, Zedd mentions, I'd be more powerful if I had my staff. And yeah. What does he do? He's going after his staff. Like, it just shows that, like, that connective tissue can be there, but not be either a forgotten thing, but it can also serve the purpose of the story.
Well, we do find out where the staff was, and it's actually not at Beast Morphers.
Wait, it's not? I thought it was. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, never mind. I remember now.
There's a reason why that character that they went for... had to be.
I jumped ahead a little bit, so we'll talk about that next week.
I can't wait to see where this is going.
But yeah, I mean, overall with this episode, I think in terms of framing the season, like part one, part two, this was a strong start to the episode as a mid-season premiere. And I think it just gives these little nuggets of beautiful things. And it doesn't over-rely on history. It uses the history of the franchise to color in what's happening.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, it's just another great episode of Dino Fury.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Can't wait to discuss more, guys, because, like, the next few episodes are also just, like, bangers as well.
Like, I think the thing that Dino Fury did really well is that, at least if season two, part two, I mean, season two, part one had some, like, a little bit of, you know, filler here and there, but they spread it out well. But, like, see, part two, just, it starts and it does not stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no. Every episode bleeds into another, so, mm-hmm. which makes it perfect for streaming.
Exactly. Yeah, and binging, honestly. Yeah,
I binged it. I mean, I know you did too. Like, once I got them started, I was like, I gotta see what happens. I gotta figure this out.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm gonna watch two episodes, you know, but then, like, you're just like, no, I gotta watch the next one. It's very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll definitely get to discuss more of those moments going forward. But with that, that'll kind of wrap up the show for today. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Twitter at MayThePowerPod. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at MayThePowerPod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send comments, suggestions, topic ideas, things we can do better. Or if you're interested in coming on as a guest host, like, you know, Zach has done, like Derek has done, like Aubrey have done, you know, like, come on, you know, we would love mm-hmm. to have more people come on and discuss things.
For sure.
Especially if you're interested in certain episodes of Dino Fury. We'd love to have cast members on for certain things going on later on. Mm-hmm. But if you want to find me online, you can find me on most social media at ThespisPunk. Where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me at BridgeMT3.
Yep. And with that said, you know, again, guys, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for joining us and getting to hear us gab and talk about and speculate on certain mm-hmm. things that are going to be happening going forward. Definitely excited to see what's going on and can't wait to get to talk with you guys again later.
For sure.
But with that said, as always, may the power protect you.